NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods. Today's construction spending numbers are out this morning, with residential construction increasing 0.2% April to May and 28% over the last year. It's a white-knuckled hot pace for housing. We've got a lot of construction. Houses, remodeling, apartments, condos. Stacey, this is the serene sounds of some steel being unloaded at a construction site near my apartment in New York.
Similar serene sounds near my apartment as well, yes. So much serenity in New York. That's why we all live here, right?
And everywhere in the US, the hills are alive with the sound of rebar and also hammers and really loud drills.
I mean, it is a fantastic time to be a home builder. Home prices have shot up in the last year, 24%. That is massive. House prices are screaming, build, build, build. I mean, that way there would be more houses, there would be more supply to fit the demand, so prices wouldn't be going up so much for the few houses there are.
And yet.
In this economy, of course, nothing is that simple.
Can you just list off all the reasons why construction can't ramp up as fast as it would like to?
Oh my gosh.
I've got all day.
There are a lot of forces holding home construction back, says Rick Palacios Jr. He is the director of research at John Burns Real Estate Consulting. First up, he says, land.
Hard to find land. Hard to entitle land.
Also, lumber prices have been astronomical, steel prices are still high, and there are a lot of materials where, because of shipping bottlenecks, you wouldn't even know if they're going to arrive on time.
But one of the biggest obstacles right now, says Rick, hiring. A lot of companies cannot find enough workers.
Think about electricians. Think about finished carpenters. That's actually where we're seeing some of the biggest issues. It's with those specialty trades.
Today on the show, desperately seeking construction workers. After all, these are jobs that require a lot of skill, a lot of training. And so we want to learn how companies are enticing people into these trades to keep, you know, the cement mixers mixing and the hammers hammering.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterUp. Did you know that individual growth can fuel organizational transformation? With BetterUp, teams see a 97% increase in goal attainment. Learn more at BetterUp.com.
When I asked Brandy McCombs how she got into the construction trades, she answered with one word.
Accident. I needed a day job. I was trying to raise a family, and I ended up working for a mechanical, electrical, and plumbing contractor in their service department.
This accident led to a career in construction.
I started with boots on ground. I was in the field, in the trenches, did it, and then I went into the office, and then now here I am owning my own company.
Brandy started her Kansas City-based carpentry company, IBC, in 2008, and she hasn't ever looked back. But there is one major headache.
But what's the biggest barrier to expanding to kind of meet that demand?
Workforce. Having the skilled trades to perform the work.
Of course, if you told this story to a lot of economists, they would have a very fast answer for you, which is raise the wages.
Why not just pay more?
We do. So at hourly all-in wage, we probably start about $45 then. Mm-hmm. Now we're at $65.
Wow. I mean, the numbers you're giving out, I mean, these are decent upper middle class wages. These are not, they're not even middle income wages.
Yes.
So that's $65 an hour. It does include benefits. And it is about double the median wage in the US. But still, it hasn't been enough to get the workers Brandy needs. And so she has started advertising another perk, especially for those hard to fill senior roles, the use of a vehicle.
I assume it's a truck. Pickup truck?
Oh, yeah. It's an F-150. Are you sure you don't want a job?
She's trying to recruit you too, Darian.
I know. No one is immune.
But like this kind of thing, this kind of very aggressive recruiting, this is happening all over the country. Rick Palacios Jr. says he's seen this in his research on the real estate industry.
It's been a structural issue for the home building space really since, I would call it maybe 2009, 2010, when we exited that recession, albeit slowly. It has been a structural impediment, I would say, that perhaps has accelerated coming out of COVID. Everybody is after the same thing. There's insatiable demand. We can't build it fast enough. We've got to go out and compete. And how that all manifests itself is higher wages.
The average hourly wage in construction is now just over $32 an hour. And those higher wages, excellent news for the construction workers, of course. But why hasn't that attracted enough new workers for the industry?
Of course, one thing about construction work is that it is really hard and there are a lot of dangers involved. I mean, you're out there in the sun every day, lots of safety risks.
And in the early 2000s, the construction industry just brought on board a lot of people from other countries. The inflow of immigrants into construction, both legal and undocumented, was really high.
The industry does rely on immigrants historically. Right? And that's not a political statement. That's hard statistics. You know, we haven't had the friendliest of policies there over the last several years. And stripping politics out of it, I mean, home builders that we talk to tell us time and time again, look, we need people to do these jobs. We saw a lot of those people leave the industry after the great financial crisis. They did not come back. And that's caused a big issue for home builders ever since.
Construction is notorious for its boom and bust cycles. And the Great Recession of 2008 just annihilated the construction industry. And that, of course, has contributed to the perception that construction work is unstable, and it has kept workers away.
The volatility of the industry definitely has played a role in people leaving the industry, namely after the great financial crisis.
So Brandy, our carpentry business owner, she is focusing right now on the things she can control. So she is offering higher wages and the use of a pickup truck, but she's also going into high schools, talking with teenagers, saying, hey, there is a career path for you in construction. In fact, she says next week she's joining a camp for girls to give them a taste of what a career in construction might be like.
They do plumbing, and then the next day they do welding, the next day they do the carpentry, and to get them familiarized with what options they do have.
And Brandy tells them that there are a lot of benefits to the trades. Like, a trade school is typically a lot cheaper than an expensive four-year college.
They have no student debt. They're getting on-the-site training, so they're making at the minimum $25 an hour.
And through this outreach, Brandy says, she has helped to shape some teenagers' lives. And partly solve her own hiring problem. She uses the example of a young woman she met in Kansas City.
She had no idea. Again, no idea. Her mom was a teacher at a local community college. Her dad was a UPS driver and didn't know anything about construction.
Brandy gave this young woman an internship at her company. It went really well. And a few years after the internship, she ran into the young woman again when she was in college.
She went to Mizzou and then she came back.
She came back and actually interviewed Brandy, which was part of this young woman's capstone project for her engineering degree.
And I was like, oh, full circle. And that right there is what it's all about. When someone says, well, why did you do it? And why do you do the things I do? Because that was worth every moment I spent with that girl.
Now, all Brandy has to do is find dozens more people like that.
Tweet at us. We are at The Indicator. And please send us an email. Type in indicator@npr.org. We would love to hear from you.
Today's episode was produced by Julia Ritchie and Emma Peasley with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha. Kate Concannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.